WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today on this Wednesday and joining me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear the second part now of this sermon that just started yesterday. And here during this, some of these odd days during the week, and it is odd today, isn't it? Hump day, Wednesday. We are in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. That's my sermon from today. Hey, since it is Wednesday, the good news is we have Bible study going on at church here tonight. So if you are tuned in here tonight, if it's 5:30 and you're tuned in, you've got 28 minutes to point your car to 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. We start at 6 o'clock. We're in the 13th chapter of Luke. We roll out the big blackboard, and it's open for questions, and I hope answers. Love to see you. Format Wednesday night is much different than a Sunday service. So speaking of Sunday services, you're going to hear one now, 1 Peter. And then Thursday and Friday, you'll hear the sermon that I just preached last weekend, and that is Priority Mail, the Church at Philadelphia. Awesome church, this Church at Philadelphia. They've got an open door. The Lord says when He opens a door, no one can shut it. That's where we'll be at the end of this week. Sunday morning, my sermon is Priority Mail, the Persecuted Church at Smyrna. The one church, actually two churches, that the Lord had no correction for, only praise. Let's get into the Word now.
And using Christians, dipping them in oil, and using them as human torches to light his little playground. While that was going on, remember, Nero killed Peter. He crucified him upside down some 3 years after writing this. He tells you, with everything that he knows, he says to act and treat and respect the government this way, or to governors, verse 14, as to those that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I love the way this Bible translation reads here. Here it goes, verse 13. This is the New Living Translation. Let me read it. It says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as the head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. You see, arguments won't win this. Submission wins this. Amen. And godliness. Submission and godliness. Last two verses of this paragraph. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love the family of unbelievers. I'm sorry. No, that was an accident. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. So live like this and you'll do fine. Now what I'm about to say is not going to make any friends, but rather just more enemies. But I'm on a roll anyway, so why stop now? Here it goes. If you live like this, like the Bible instructs you, then you won't get shot by police. Or much like less likely to be false accused of a crime and put in jail. But if you live like a devil, or if you walk in sin, you take yourself out of God's protection. And a new catchphrase I've just invented today. It's called the law of happenstance. When you walk in sin, you are out of the protection of God, and you are now living under the law of happenstance, where stray bullets hit you, where feet get put over your neck, where innocent bystanders die. Don't walk in sin, and these things won't happen to you. Pick and choose anyone you want to see for the last 5 years who has been died and killed, and you'll see every one of them was walking in sin. Stop sinning, and this won't happen to you. Stop sinning. What was once random is now even money. That is freak things happening to you, like a freak injury. Or a random stray bullet like that which killed Ahab. Or some sort of accident. Or even being accidentally killed. All these things that shouldn't happen when you're walking in sin. This is now the law of happenstance hangs over you like the sword of Damocles. Where anything can happen to you. When you're walking in sin. Paul put it this way, Romans 13, once again, out of the New Living Translation, verse 1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Remember, he wrote this when Nero was emperor. He is saying Nero comes from God, came from God, feeding Christians that alliance. Verse 2, so anyone who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Now, Paul asked the question to all of us this morning, and what he says next. He says, would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? He's asked it 2,000 years ago. He's asking you a question. Black, white, Hispanic, African American, Italian, German, no matter who you are, would you like to live a life not in fear of the authorities? Then he answers, do what is right, and they will honor you. Golly, that's just so simple, isn't it, Bill? Me and Bill used to do a radio show, and Bill says, you know, I said, Bill, you ought to run for president or Congress or something. And Bill goes, I know, the easy way to do it is just to get up and say, everything you've ever heard about me is probably true. And just go out and say it first and get it over with. Then all the lies and the stuff won't work against you. We are sinners redeemed by grace. That's the end of all arguments, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. What you heard about me is right. And not just you, but me and all of us. What you heard about me is probably right. But my God is bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and they will honor you. And don't tell me this is a racist country. This country elected Barack Obama twice as president. All the white people here voted, the majority of white people voted for Barack Obama as president. You want to talk about racism? You watch the Masters golf from 6 or 8 years ago, and you watch the way white people treated Tiger Woods. No, it's these politicians. They stir up this stuff to get people at each other's throats. Watch, you Google what happened to Tiger Woods, and you watch the way people, white people, idolize this guy. They love him like they love anyone, because white people aren't racists, most part. We love people. That's the common response, is the way white people treated Tiger Woods for winning a green jacket. That's the normal. White people voting for Barack Obama is the normal. What you hear out here is evil deception getting you to hate people. Because Satan gets you to hate, God wants you to love. By this, all, John 13:35, 1 John 3:14, by this all men will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. It's the press that wants you to hate people. First John 3:14. By this we know we have passed from death unto life, that we love the brethren. That's the word of God. That's what we believe. Oh, I know there's racists out there. I know there are plenty of, there's evil racists. Me being a musician, saxophone, a jazz player, when I read that my heroes who are black can't drink from the same water fountain, that's evil. Let's call it what it is. If you can't drink out of a water fountain because of the color of your skin, that's as evil as it gets. And you better repent of that and make it right with God. Because you won't drink out of his water fountain if that's the way that you are. If you aren't allowed on the same bus as someone, repent while you still can. Because you won't be on his bus unless if you change and get rid of the evil racism that you have. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. Told you this was a fun sermon today. Golly. I'm in Romans 13:4. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, because they have the power to punish you. So you must submit to them, verse 5, not only to avoid punishment, but to keep a clear conscience. So here's today's key word, submit. From submitting to the authorities, to wives submitting to their husbands. Next up, chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. How many women can relate to that? I've met scores of women whose husbands came to the faith because they lived a godly life and followed this verse. And they just set, they lived by example. That's how I came to the faith. That's how I stopped doing things. That's how I quit smoking. That's how others I know quit drinking. It was never by the finger. It was by living by example and let the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. Right? Many times our actions or how we live speaks louder than words. But he's saying here to trust God for your husband. You can't win it by argument. You got to be obedient to the word of God. Submissiveness, submit, and godliness. Now, of course, we're not talking about abuse or someone being hurt. That's not what we're talking about. No, Paul says get out of that quick. If someone's abusing you or hurting you, get out. And don't let the door hit you on the way out. Get away from someone that's doing that. Get away from someone that's hurting you. How to live right and how to deal with an unbelieving husband. Now, the next verse, we're going to switch from a principle to a custom. All right, now hear me. A principle is like a law, it never changes, like the law of sowing and reaping. A custom is an instruction that might only be temporary or only spoken to a particular people or where they were at. For instance, tithing or giving. Giving is a principle. Giving a shekel is a custom. The principle never changes. The customs always change. How many farthings do you have in your pockets today? Anyone have a farthing with them? Anyone have a shekel with them? Some Weisenheimer is going to put a shekel in the offering plate next week. I know it. Likewise, how women are to dress is a custom. How long to grow their hair can change from place to place. You see, in Corinth, I think prostitutes were the ones that had the hair a certain length. That's why he said what he said to them about the length of their hair. That's a custom. That applied to them, and it applied to them in that place. Not everywhere. There's a difference between a principle and a custom. These are customs. Verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely. I love the word, the way the New King James adds the word merely. Otherwise, hate to see how some women might take that literal and come to church. Let's try it without the word there. Don't let your adornment be outward. Don't let your adornment be outward. It says, don't let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So again, let's say a custom. I don't advise any men in here to tell their wives or fiancés to start calling them Lord. Captain Jim, don't try this at home, or you'll be wearing a boat for a crown. That worked back then, not today. That's a custom. It's not a law for all the women in here to call their spouses Lord. What are you laughing at? I know what you're laughing at. That's not going out on the radio. All right, mine did for about a month or two. And these guys are like, Lord? She's calling him Lord? Boy, she'll get over that quick, and she did too, right? Am I right? Is that what you're laughing at? Yeah. I'll strike that from the podcast. Next up, servants. Or slaves. Verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, I've heard it said, well, I'm not a Christian because there's slavery in the Bible. Have you ever heard that before? Or, I'm not a Christian because the Bible condones slavery. Therefore, I refuse to be Christian. And to that first part, let's say, you are right. There is slavery in the Bible. But I have an even more shocking thing to tell you this morning. You are a slave. You are chained to someone this morning in this church. You are a slave. Right where you sit, Romans 6:16 says this. First three words, don't you realize that you become the slaves of whatever you choose to obey? You're a slave of something this morning, let me tell you. You are either a slave of sin because you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you can't stop sinning. Or you're chained to righteousness. You know what that looks like? That's when you're compelled to do good. You just can't stop doing good. Is being chained to righteousness. Just like David. Is there anyone left from the house of Saul that I can do good to? Chained to righteousness. What kind of good can I do today, Larry? Who can I help? Who can I bless? That person is chained to righteousness. You're a slave. Ah, Christos, you're a slave of sin. Sin owns you. It's got a free 99-year lease in you, and it's not going away. The only way for sin to go away is through the blood of Jesus Christ and to be one spirit with the Lord. To be born again, to be one spirit with the Lord is the only way to beat this. Do you not realize you become slaves of whatever you choose to obey? He goes on. You can, again, I think I'm in the New Living Translation, but it's got the point perfect. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. What a great Bible translation that is. You can be a slave to sin, that is, without the power of the Holy Spirit. You are unable to say no to sin, and you become a slave, and then sin owns you. And now here in verse 17 is the alternative. Thank God that once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. You see, again, you're chained to it. You're compelled to do good. You're compelled to love. You're compelled to serve. You're compelled to help. You're compelled to bless. You are compelled to make a difference in this evil world because you're chained to him. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. That's the direction he's going. He says, my burden is light. My burden is light. So just keep that in mind. Yes, indeed. The Bible does mention slavery. There is slavery in the Bible. But a much, much worse thing than that is you are a slave. Who are you chained to? Sin or righteousness? And the good news is, as we close here, you can change owners today. You don't have to remain chained to sin. You can change owners before you walk out these doors here today. You don't have to stay the way that you are. Are you tired of living that way? For you who's watching on Facebook or listening in on the radio here come Wednesday when you hear this, are you tired of serving sin today? If you are, you can change that here right now. Let's pray. I'm a church family. Let's pray. If you're listening in on the radio, don't close your eyes, but pray. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of being a slave of sin. I turn from my sin. I repent of it like you tell me to do. I call on your name to be Savior today. Lord, I receive you today. I believe you, Jesus Christ, are the Son of God. I call on your name to save me here today, and I want to serve, I want to be chained to you, where I know nothing can hurt me and no one can harm me, and I can do good with the rest of my life when I'm chained to you. So I turn from my old way, and I turn to you and say, I want to be chained and associated to you. In your name we pray, amen and amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You are listening to Today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Now, we live in a generation that says a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. And you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy and tongues and all of these other things, some of them miracles, others governments and helps and giving and all of these spiritual gifts. And everybody's saying, this is my gift. What is your gift? How can I know my gift? How can I use my gift? Fine, wonderful. God has given you a gift, and you need to discover your gift, you need to develop your gift, and you need to put your gift into practice. But my friend, may I tell you that no spiritual gift is a sign or a mark of spiritual maturity or spirituality. Paul's most carnal church, the church at Corinth, he said, you come behind in no gift. If I want to know whether a man is a mature Christian, I never examine his gift. I inspect the fruit. The mark of spirituality, the mark of maturity, is what kind of fruit do you bear? The fruit of the Spirit is the mark of spirituality, not a spiritual gift, the fruit of the Spirit.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Thou hast taught me to say,